Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by our Mini Helmet Contest. The SGPN Mini Helmets are now in the store, and we're giving away one for free. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/helmet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/helmet.
Howdy, ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to another action-packed episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're up to episode 267. This went out to Saki Kibara, who was the man who brought us Pride Fighting, and now he's bringing us Ryzen Fighting, and he's getting us our Japanese MMA fix on New Year's Eve, which is a grand tradition. The old school heads out there know that it used to be an exciting night for MMA. New Year's Eve was, and it's no different this year, because Ryzen and Mr. Saki Kibara has put on another stellar show. Now, last episode, we broke down Ryzen versus Bellator, which is basically, if you want to consider it, the main card, the pay-per-view portion, so to speak, of the night. This episode, we're going to break down the, you want to call them prelims, but it's basically, it's a full fight card, stack fight card. It's called Ryzen 40, and it will be taking place the same evening as Ryzen versus Bellator. So I am one of your hosts of this year episode, Jeff Chalks Fox. Thanks for coming to the show. Thank you for listening to us. Our numbers continue to trend up, which is great. If you are listening to us on the SGPN feed, go and find our actual MMA Gambling Podcast feed. Subscribe to that. Give it 5 stars, too, if you're on Spotify, or rate and review on Apple Podcasts, and that'll help us continue to grow our audience. The man who brings most of the ears to our show, the man whose milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, it's Daniel Gumby-Vreeland. Let's introduce him now.
You know, when you said he brings all of the ears to our show, I was wondering if that was I don't even know who sang that song, but I was wondering if it was a reference to that song.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Do you know off the top of your head who sings that song?
Yeah, she was married to Nas for a while. What's her name? Now she's a chef, I believe. So I know lots of things about her. I can't remember her name.
How do you know more about
I want to say
R&B rap than I do.
I want to say Kesha, but it's not Kesha, because she's something different. I'm gonna look it up. Milkshake was Kellis. I was close. Kellis.
You could have paid me $1 million and I'd given me 10 years to come up with it, and I would have never come up with that.
Yep. There you go.
Look at you.
This isn't a Kellis podcast, so I don't know how many listeners we would get for that, but. Yes, we're here to discuss Ryzen 40, which is you were pretty excited. I remember when I originally mentioned this fight card to you, and you looked up who was on it.
Yeah, well, because originally I looked up, I knew Ryzen Bellator was kind of like the main card, right? So I assumed they filled the prelims with, you know, a bunch of bullshit. And then I looked, and you know, two really awesome prospects, maybe the best atomweight in the world, three fighters Actually, four fighters. One of those fights we're not even going to break down, but a bunch of fighters who are fighting that used to be in the UFC, one fresh out of the UFC. You know, it's just like a pretty fun round of people you've mostly heard of, even if you're not a big Japanese MMA fan.
No. So household names, almost. Some of them, I guess.
One of them is a legit household name.
Yes.
If you're an MMA fan and you don't know John Dodson, like, you should know John Dodson, unless you're like very new to MMA.
It's true. Yeah. He has been on a bit of a skid, but we'll get to that soon enough. We will break down. Actually, let's start breaking down this card right now, shall we? So this is, it's going down Saturday night, New Year's Eve, 4 a.m. Eastern time on the East Coast here, if you want to watch it live. And it's being broadcast in the U.S. on Fight TV. I'm sure there's other means out there somewhere, whisper to watch it, but that's the official broadcast. I don't know where it's going to be streamed in Canada or anywhere else in the world, but it's on at 4 a.m. like I said, and it's the prelude to Bellator versus Ryzen, which is shown on tape delay here, which you will need to know if you want to bet on it. It's starting in the morning, like before noon. It'll probably be starting on the East Coast, so make sure you get your bets in. And then I'm sure there's some way to watch it online, live, if you are so inclined. But if you want to listen to Gumby's picks for that card, go back one episode, 266. That's the episode that we got into all of that. So this one's going down same place, Saitama Super Arena in Saitama, Japan. Nine fights are on the prelim portion of the card, if you want to call that. They're basically treating it like its own card. It's got its own poster and all that stuff. So Ryzen 40, and it is in a ring, sadly. One of our friends in the Discord sent a good clip of a Japanese fight that took place with a moat around it recently. There's no moat in this one.
Yeah, that's some pretty wild stuff. I don't know what show that was from, but it's pretty wild when you decide water is a good part of MMA.
People getting slammed into a moat. Yes. I thought it was a mistype and he meant to type mount, but no.
Slammed into mount.
I thought you got slammed into mount, but no, it wasn't just the fancy MMA move, jiu-jitsu move. No, it was an actual moat. No crocodiles in it, unfortunately. So, all right. Like I said, there's what, nine fights in this card? Yeah. We're going to break down five of them after I tell you about WynnBET. How's that for a tease? WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays. Reduce juice on sides and totals for all bowl games the day of. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100 or win $100. Limited to state availability. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And if you have a lack of mini helmet problem, then I got a solution for that as well. Don't forget to enter the SGP mini helmet contest. From now until the end of the year, just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/helmet. To enter, that's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/helmet. And I've seen the helmets and they look pretty, pretty cool. All right, that is that. Let's jump into this card. Dricus du Plessis versus Derek Brunson just came across my radar. Thoughts, quick thoughts on that, Dan, go.
I just sent it in the Discord as well, so you can always get my first takes there before you get them anywhere else. I like that the UFC is matching up the old top of the division with the young and up-and-comers, because they did that with, you know, we got Amavov versus Gastelum. That's a good way to weed out possibly one of the old guys at the top of the division. Marvin Vettori's not old, but he has kind of been just, like, lingering there for a while. Now he's fighting Roman Dolidze. Like, just, like, any younger guys or three up-and-comers taking that spot would be huge for the division and give, like, a little turnover.
Yep, that's what we want them to do with lightweight, but it seems the big name lightweight guys aren't willing to play ball.
That is true. And it's interesting that these middleweights are, but it could be just that, like, the top of the division is just, like, so stuck right now.
Yeah.
That, like, somebody's got to do something. And maybe Alexander Volkanovski beating Islam Makhachev will do the same thing to lightweight.
Oh,
and
yes. Both of us are going to pick him, I think.
And then they'll just be forced to do some stuff.
Yep. All right, back to Ryzen, back to Japan. Do you watch much of Ryzen, Dan?
I do if it has a card like this.
Yeah,
Like, I'll be honest. I try to watch Izawa every single time she fights now.
Yep.
Because she is so damn exciting. Not to bury the lead here, and talk about the main event right off the bat. But, like, if she's fighting, I think she's probably the best atomweight in the world. And as you know, I really love atomweight. So, like, you know, that's sort of one that would always make me watch. But, yeah, no, there's other reasons to watch this one anyway.
Yep. Perhaps the first fight we're going to mention, Hideo Tokuro versus John Dodson, the aforementioned John Dodson. Flyweight, 126 pounds is what they go by over there, but it is a flyweight belt. I'm going to tell you about Tokuro first. Little Volk Han is his nickname, or the Magician of the Ring. So we have the Magician versus the Magician. Isn't that exciting?
It's wonderful.
You don't
he's the Magician. He's Magician of the Ring, though.
Yes, it's true. And this is in a ring, so
could be a huge benefit to him.
Yep. All right. He's Tokuro, 35-31-2. 5 knockouts, 21 submissions. So he's a magician of the mat as well. 13 times he's been knocked out. 6 times he's been submitted. He's 3-3 in Ryzen. He's swapped wins and losses every one of those fights. He lost his last fight. He's fought at every weight class. Did you know this, Dan?
I that's not surprising. Yeah, he's been fighting for 100 years, dude.
Yeah, he's according to Wikipedia, he's the only man who's fought in every weight class from flyweight up to heavyweight. He's fought in everyone. He was in Bellator. He went 0-1 there. 2000 was his debut. 2000. So yes, MMA debut. So yes, he has been fighting forever, as Dan said. He also is a pro grappler. He's 4 inches taller than Dodson. We don't have reach info for him, so I don't know if he has 4 inches of reach as well. Advantage on Dodson, +375. A lot of these odds, I did these breakdowns, I think, yesterday, like Tuesday, and I just refreshed them before we went to air. A lot of these odds have gone really crazy, and this is one of the ones that have changed a lot. Dodson's become a way bigger favorite in this one than he was originally. So let's tell you about him. Dodson, the magician. Dot. Period. I mean, 22-13, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. Never been finished in a fight, which is very impressive. 35 fights, never been finished. This is his Ryzen debut. He's got 1-2 over his last 3 fights, and 2-4 over his last 6. However, he did win his last fight. He went 10-7 in the UFC. He was 3-0 on the Ultimate Fighter and the champion of the season he was on. He used to fight at bantamweight. 2004 was his pro MMA debut. He also was 1-0 in bare knuckle fighting. He's 7 years younger than Tokuro, -465. And like I said, I think this was like in the -300 range when I did it yesterday, but a lot of money has apparently come in on the magician full stop. Go ahead.
340 this morning. And that's this morning when I looked. It's moved and it's moved for good reason. If you're just getting to this now, he's probably not much more than parlay fuel. Like you might want a hashtag, throw him in a parlay, but like, I still think Dodson is by far going to win this fight. There's a reason the money came in on him and people saw value at -340. Like he was a great parlay piece for there. You might even want to just play him straight up by a knockout prop if you see it. Because the thing about Tokuro is you're right. He's really good at grappling. You want to go back to, he actually fought and beat Hoyler Gracie in 2006 back in K1. I think he drew with Hoyce Gracie, if I'm not mistaken. He like beat Brad Pickett. I'm trying to remember, like, I remember seeing some of his like really old fights and he fought like some real legit dudes and guys who were good at grappling. He was always good at grappling and kind of like iffy on the feet, but as he's aged, he's become more and more iffy on the feet and he's slower. The thing about Dodson is even though he's gotten older, right? Dodson's 38, even though he's gotten slower, he's not slow. You know, like he's gotten slower, but he's not slow.
Relative, yes.
Yeah, it's a relative name, but he's always been fast, right?
Yeah,
And like if you watch that bare knuckle boxing fight with him, which I went back and watched because I had not seen it because I don't watch bare knuckle boxing. But he picks up like a 40-second knockout over Ryan Benoit, and his hands look great. Like he still looks like he can box. So like I don't really believe Tokuro is going to take him down. So like I think it's just all day you're going to see John Dodson outbox him.
Yeah, and he's way younger and
Tokoro's 45, dude.
Yeah. This is a very nice matchup for Dodson for sure. So Dodson is the pick, but you know, -465, and it's probably going to even get even higher. May not want to do much with that unless like you want to hashtag throw it in a parlay. All right, let's jump off a couple fights. Up one weight class. Bantamweight's 134 pounds there. Yuki Montoya versus Rogério Bontorin, who you may remember. Montoya. Is it Montoya or Montoyo? It's Montoya, right. Montoya, no N. I made him into Brazilian, didn't I? Japanese, Montoyo. Montoya is 32-10, 6 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times, 9-5 in Ryzen. He's won 4 straight fights and 6 of 7. He was the deep champion before this in Japan. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. He's 2 inches taller than Bontorin, 1 inch of reach, plus 170. So much closer than the original fight we just broke down. Bontorin, 17-4 with 1 no contest. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 11 times. Sorry. He's knocked out 3 people, submitted 11 people. That's positives. The negatives, he's been knocked out once, submitted once. So he's pretty durable. This will be his Ryzen debut. He went 2-3 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's gone 0-3 with 1 no contest over his last 4 fights. He has not won a fight since August of 2019. He's missed weight before at this in this weight class, bantamweight. He was 1-0 on the Contender Series. He's 3 years younger than Montoya, minus 200.
Yeah, so the hasn't won a fight in 4 fights is a little bit misleading because, you know, one of those fights was a no contest that was overturned that he had won. He actually beat Matt Schnell, which, like, in retrospect is a really good win. Now, granted, yep. He did test positive for a banned substance in there. So
they don't care about that in Japan, though. So
they do not care about that in Japan. I will also say this. So I like Bontorin here. I think the number is really nice on him. I think he might be a little bit sharper with the striking than Montoya. Maybe not. Like, maybe Montoya just winds up surprising me here and looking a little bit better than Bontorin. But I think the grappling advantage that Bontorin is going to have is just going to be massive. Because, like, while Bontorin did not have loads of success in the UFC in terms of wins and losses, like, if you go back and you look at the statistics of what he did in the UFC, it's actually so impressive. Like, you know, I mentioned the Matt Schnell win, which got overturned and now is no longer a win. But, like, you know, that in the first place is really impressive. And then if you look at his fight with Brandon Royval, he took Brandon Royval down 8 times. And some of that is, you know, Royval likes to grapple and likes to counter grappling. But, like, at what point in time was Brandon Royval like, oh, crap, I'm on my back again? Because that's what wound up happening with Bontorin. So he made it a close fight. And some people even, I think if you went back to MMA decisions, which I don't have open, but, like, I think some people I remember scoring that fight for Bontorin. So this guy should be head and shoulders better than Montoya in the grappling department. So I'm going to go favorite right out of the gate here. I'll take the other UFC veteran, Bontorin.
All right, we are going chalk again. Daniel is getting chalky with you, and actually, there's one more close fight coming up, so maybe he'll get us some underdog action before we're out of here. But before we're out of here, I also have to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. We're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. At Underdog, the season never ends. Right now, you can play their weekly battle royale games, or even draft your playoff best ball team. They also have a ton of daily games for NBA and NHL. Plus, when you use promo code SGPN at underdogfantasy.com, you get a 100% deposit match up to $100. This is Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. All right, what are we moving on to now? Let's move on to Inoue. Yeah, let's move on to bantamweights. Naoki Inoue versus Kenta Tazekawa, 134 pounds again. And this is the third from the top. So let's see what we got for here. You may know, actually, not a household name, but Inoue has a famous last name, and he was briefly in the UFC. We're going to tell you about Takizawa first, 13-8, 9 knockouts. Been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. He lost his last fight. He's an inch taller than Inoue. Don't have reach info for him, plus 310. Inoue, 17-3 with 1 knockout, 10 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 5-1 in Ryzen. He's won 6 of his last 7. However, the loss did come in his last fight. He's 1-1, was 1-1 in the UFC. He's 3 years younger than Takizawa, minus 310. And he's probably best known for his sister rather than for what he's done, right?
I think so. And here's the thing. I'm going to go dog here.
Whoa, that's a big dog, too.
Yeah, and it was only plus 200 this morning. And I was like, plus 200... You know, so I was breaking down these this morning before we started recording, and Takizawa was plus 200 straight out of the gate. And I said to myself, you know, when the line gets as wide as plus 200 between these two, I'm interested in Takezawa. And now I'm saying after the fact, it's ballooned up another 100. I think you have to try for some dog money here because I don't think this fight is this far apart. If you look at the people who have beaten Inoue, Takezawa doesn't fit the profile of somebody who typically beats him, right? Like, he's losing to wrestlers often. He's lost to Matt Schnell back when Matt Schnell used to wrestle a little bit more faithfully. He lost to Sean Santanella, Shorty Rock, who's a pretty good wrestler. And he lost to Oki Kobu, who we talked about last time, being pretty much a one-dimensional wrestler. So, like, those are the people who beat Inoue. But I will say this about Takezawa. I think his length in the way he fights long could give Inoue a lot of trouble. Now, he's only an inch taller, and I don't have the reach numbers in front of me, but I will say just anecdotally watching them fight, he fights a lot longer than Inoue does. He uses kicks really well. And two of you, look at the types of people who have beaten him. It's like big power punchers. You know, like Kaya Sukara, like, beat him up pretty good. Although I guess Ogi Kobu also beat him too with a little bit of grappling. But, like, you know, guys who hit pretty hard have beaten him. Guys who could take him down and ground and pound him out. But, like, I don't know that Inoue is going to do that. And I think as long as Takezawa keeps his feet for this whole fight, I think there's a pretty good chance that you land a massive underdog here in Takezawa.
Whew, that would be a massive one. Plus 310. That would be a nice way to ring in your new year or ring out your 2022. All right. Go main event. Heavyweights. Tayoshi Sudayaro versus Junior Tafa. You mean another famous person, probably more known for his sibling than for himself. That would be Junior Tafa, his brother Justin being in the UFC. Let's tell you about him first. The juggernaut, Junior Tafa, 3-0 with three knockouts. This will be his Ryzen debut. He's 1-0-1 as a pro boxer, 23-5 as a pro kickboxer. He's an inch taller than Sudayaro, plus 115. And he just fought, right? We just broke down Tafa like last month, right?
Yeah, he fought for, was it? KSW? Might have been KSW.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll put the intern on it.
Okay. Sudayaro, also known as Takano Fuji Sanzo. Did you know that, Dan?
That's his sumo name, if yes, I'm not mistaken.
He was a sumo champion before this. Have you seen him fight before? I'm very interested in this man now. I've never seen him
fight as an MMA fighter sumo MMA. Wrestler? MMA. Yeah, I have. Yeah, I have a couple of times.
Okay, you can tell us about him after I tell you the stats on him. He's 6-1 in pro MMA with six knockouts. He's been submitted one time, his only loss. So he's never gone the distance. 6-1 in Ryzen. He's won three straight fights. He was, like I said, a sumo champion in the previous life. 4 inches of reach over Tafa, minus 125. Are you ready, or is the intern still working here?
So the intern got back to me. Junior Tafa fought for us on that Brave 66 card.
Okay.
You watched, and you might remember on that card too, I also faded him on that card against a plus 450 underdog. His name was Nicholas Djurjevic. And basically the reason I faded him in that fight was because I was like, Djurjevic he's a 44-year-old dude who pretty much can only wrestle and he can't strike. But I think Junior Tafa's wrestling is extremely bad. Like, I fade him against anybody who can wrestle. And Djurjevic actually took him down. The 44-year-old dude took him down, was kind of beating him up. And apparently he's got 2.5 minutes of gas in his tank. He burned all 2.5 minutes of that. Tafa turned the corner and just like ground and pounded him out as soon as he was tired. Sudario, first of all, a couple of pieces here that are interesting about him. He uses that sumo background. Like, he is really good in the clinch and with like hip tosses and like has a really low base. He works extremely well in the clinch. He's quite a bit skinnier than he was when he was a sumo. Like, it's pretty clear he's like lost some weight and gotten himself fit. So he's not just like, you know, kind of what you think of in like the UFC 10 range when there was a sumo wrestler in there. Like, he's clearly transformed his body. And in addition to that, low key, like a very powerful boxer. He's like knocked a couple of dudes out. His hooks
all of his fights have been knockouts.
And so, I mean, some of them are TKOs, right? Like,
right. Yeah.
He's a couple of them. He's gotten guys down. One actually, he leg kicked. Was it Minowa Man? He leg kicked out. I think he leg kicked out Minowa Man. In his like first or second fight. But anyway, like, yeah, he's got great knockout power. You know, he throws knees well. So I think he is a terrible matchup for Taffa in that this is a guy who can box with Taffa if he wants to, because Taffa is just like his brother. He wants to throw hands. He's got explosive power, but sometimes when he gets stuck in a firefight, I don't always trust him. You know, kind of like I didn't trust his brother when he fought Jorgen De Castro and he just flatlined him. So, like, I think Sudario can stand and throw with him. And if that doesn't work, too, I also think he can take him down and ground and pound him out because he's got some grappling there, too. So, yeah, give me the sumo wrestler Sudario. This is a dude who, like, low-key, I kind of hope makes a transition to fighting in the U.S. I don't know that he will, because he's, you know, he's Japanese and he comes from, you know, the sumo background. So he's probably already got a huge following. I think his coach is Ensign Inoue too, if I'm not sure, if I'm another not mistaken. Inoue. Yeah. Yes. Another Inoue. And I think he's probably stuck there, but he's 25 years old and like probably as bright of a heavyweight prospect as I can think of at that age with this kind of resume. So, I'm excited to see it. And I think the price you're getting him at here is a steal too. I think he's going to beat Taffa up pretty good.
Yep, a very good number if you're that high in him at -125. All right, to the main event. As Dan mentioned, Saika Izawa will be fighting Siwoo Park. This is the super atom weight. I think they call it super atom weight, don't they?
But it's basically atom weight.
It's 108 pounds, so it's 3 pounds higher than our what we consider atom weight in North America. This is a tournament championship, but she also is the champion of the weight class. So this will be for the tournament and for the belt. The challenger, Park, 9-4 with one knockout. She's been submitted one time. 3-0 on Ryzen as part of a four-fight winning streak. She was 0-1 as a pro kickboxer, +220. Izawa, 8-0, one knockout, 3 submissions. 4-0 on Ryzen, and as I said, the champion. She also was the Jewels champion. She used to fight up at strawweight. She is a pro grappler as well. 6 years younger than Park, an inch of reach, -240. Tell us why she's so good or why you enjoy her so much.
I mean, she's just like, she's one of those people who has become, she's a grapple first type fighter, right? She's much better on the ground than she is on the feet. Not to say that she's not good on the feet, but like, she's a really good grappler. If you've seen most of her finishes, like, she's finishing people on the mat, including finishing Ayaka Hamasaki, which is like, I mean, for a long time, I thought Hamasaki was the best atom weight in the world. And like, so she's great on the ground, but she's good on the ground in a way that's like not boring to watch. Like, even if you're not a huge grappling fan or you don't always know what's going on, she's exciting. She changes positions. She's light on her feet. She like goes for chokes. You can tell what she's doing, which she's just like very, very, very exciting when she goes for stuff. I mean, like, if you watch her last two fights in Ryzen, she picked up an armbar and a front choke in like very exciting fashion. As I mentioned, she ground and pounded out Ayaka Hamasaki in only like her fifth pro fight ever, which is crazy. And she's already beat Siwoo Park. This is a rematch. They fought back for deep way back when, and she like tooled on her there on the ground. Now, granted, Park survived, but like, she tooled on her on the ground there. You mentioned she is a grappler. She's got some professional grappling experience. She like also can just do like plain BJJ competitions where she's like heel hooking people and stuff like that. She's very exciting to watch. If you haven't gotten a chance to watch Izawa yet, like, just make it a point to like go look up a couple of her fights, because she's 25, much like our sumo friend a second ago, and perhaps one of the brightest prospects in the sport, because she might be pound for pound one of the toughest women on the planet, and she's probably the best in her division.
All right, so there you go. Gumby, it's going chalk again, Jan. All right, get your pens if people still write things down. Pens and papers, or pencils or crayons, whatever you use. And I'm going to tell you Gumby's picks. Recap: Izawa, Sudario, a.k.a. Sanzo. Takizawa is his big swing this week on this card. Bontorin and Dodson. Sound good? Did I get those correct?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Right. Awesome. So make sure you're up at 4 a.m. Eastern on New Year's Eve, because you don't need to stay up late that night, right? And watch all these winning picks come through. So, all right, we'll be back in your ears tomorrow. We're going to give you another New Year's Eve card that you can watch. Actually, since it's coming from in Europe, if you listen to us in North America, you can listen to it before you're out partying on New Year's Eve. It'll be a daytime event again. So until then, as Dan said, we got our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Get in there and chat. Twitter, SGPN MMA is the account Gumby runs. I'm a Jeff Fox writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland. He, being Gumby, just dropped another episode of the Top Turtle MMA podcast that I listened to today. Modestus Bukauskas is on it, and I got thrown because I forgot he doesn't sound like someone with a name like that. He's an English bloke.
Well, he's Lithuanian, but he grew up in England. Yeah. Yes. So he's got like an English accent from Lithuania. Yeah.
Yep. And then some other guy, I can't remember who.
Orlando Prinz, who we may or may not talk about as a little bit of an extra throw into tomorrow, because both those guys, and here's a great tease, both those guys fight on Cage Warriors 148, which we are going to be breaking down as part of our Thursday show.
Yep, there you go. So listen to the Top Turtle podcast, read all their stuff at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, obviously. And as I said off the top, if you can listen to us on our actual feed, give us a 5-star review. That would help push us up the charts even more. And we can get more earballs, Dan.
Sure.
Earballs to the podcast.
For that episode.
More earballs to the podcast, more earballs. I'm just going to keep it short. Oh, and read my, I'm better writer than talker. So you can read my stuff at moneymma.substack.com. So there you go. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I will remain Little Volcan. Gumby will remain Taco no Fuji Sanzo. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.